Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time. With your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good.
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sportscast, a.k.a. iTunes' longest running weekly episodic program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. We are back. I am the Godfather, Nate Milton, and we have a lot to get into this week, especially when it comes to the association. So let's not waste any time. Let's bring in the brother from Southern California. Ladies and gentlemen, my co-host, my tag team partner, it's Marcus. Delete that footage. Vandenberg. What's going on, brother?
What's up, Nate? How are you?
I'm hanging in there, man. It's been a crazy week for black people.
How many times have you said that this year?
I was going to say, it's been a crazy year for black people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm hanging in there, man. It's been an interesting week, which we'll get into on the show. But since the last time we talked, things are kind of inching their way back to normal in Virginia in terms of everything going on with COVID. Like they've finally come up with a plan for the schools. You know, they're going to be virtual and they've pushed all the fall sports to the spring.
Okay.
So like the high school football, even though, and again, I don't want to besmirch the good people in Alabama because, you know, we might, the show, we as a show might be rooting for one particular person in that state. But the fact that they was out there playing high school football, I couldn't watch it the other night, Marcus. I'm like, really, this is what we doing in the midst of all this? This is what we got going on, ESPN?
It was Alabama, Utah is playing football.
Yeah.
Ohio is playing football. California is not playing football. Let me tell you that.
So how have things been, you know, since the last time we talked a week or so ago out there in California in terms of the pandemic?
Things are improving. And, you know, I think we've talked about this before, that the media has not done a great job of sort of reporting both sides. And I know I sound like probably a conspiracy theory.
There's fine people on both sides, Marcus.
Yeah, but you know, you hear about the gloom and doom of, oh, we have X amount of cases, but then when the cases come down, it doesn't have that same oomph to
right.
it. So the governor issued a new set of guidelines for reopening throughout the state. The big things that are closed here are still salons, barbershops, indoor malls, amusement parks.
So you still ain't got that shape up yet.
I found a connection. I got a cut in a garage. So
I was gonna say something for everybody watching on the Patreon, watching the video version. Like Marcus's hair looks a little bit more under control this week. So I was gonna mention it later on. So you found a loophole in the process.
Yes, I found a loophole. I found a temporary barber to hook me up. So
okay,
but those are the big four items that are still closed, along with restaurants can't do indoor dining. So, but the cases are going down, and you know they went down in June, and then we had this big spike over the summer. So I'm not going to get too optimistic yet, but we're at least moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I think as long as people do what they're supposed to do, like, we'll be all right. But again, you have to count on people doing what they're supposed to do. And so again, I'm not trying to pick on the good state of Alabama, Marcus, but the fact that they was playing, I was just like, this is what we got going on right now. Like, the high school kids is going to be the first ones that we test this experiment out on.
Yeah.
Not the grown man in the NFL to getting paid to do this.
And their cases are, you know, pretty high considering the population. It's not like the cases are low and they're just, you know, it's safe. They're actually headed in the wrong direction.
Like, I could see, because I guess Ohio and Michigan have kind of been in that area where the cases have been coming down. So I can get it if they want to play ball. Mm-hmm. But it's like some places, like Texas, you have not earned the right to play ball yet, Texas.
Yeah. I mean, even Florida's cases have gone way down since, I guess, June now. So, you know, fingers crossed, but we are approaching flu season, which,
yep.
You know, get your flu shot, people. Even if you don't think you get the flu, it might help you.
Yeah. I think, I don't know how it is nationally, but I know in Virginia and D.C. at least, like in Maryland, Rite Aid's doing like free flu shots.
Okay.
So, you know, check the Rite Aid in your area. And I think it's free. And then I think there's other pharmacies that are doing them at a reduced cost.
Hmm. Okay.
So, yeah, if this ain't the year to be out here on that Jenny McCarthy. You don't believe in vaccination type stuff.
No, because, you know, it looks like the vaccine will be coming sooner than later.
Because you know what's worse than getting the Rona, Marcus?
What's that?
Getting the Rona and the flu.
Oof.
At the same damn time.
I wonder if that's even possible.
Look, I don't want to find out. Don't be the one to find out.
No.
So that's what's going on with me and Marcus. Let's talk about what's going on in the world of sports, Marcus, because I almost feel like we should have had Chris on for this episode, because you know, this is not going to be the show for the stick to sports crowd, not that we ever are, but sports and politics this past week, Marcus, I guess we could say this whole year, but in particular this past week have merged in a way like never before. And particularly when it comes to the National Basketball Association and some groundbreaking maneuvers that were made.
Yeah. So this goes back to 1 week ago, last Sunday, where it was actually during SummerSlam, and I was on Twitter and saw video from Wisconsin of an officer shooting who we later found out was 29-year-old Jacob Blake 7 times in the back while he was trying to get back into his car. He was, you know, surrounded by cops, and he walked back to his car, and then the officer got up behind him and shot him 7 times. He somehow survived, luckily. And
which is that, like, that in and of itself is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, granted he is paralyzed at the moment, but you know, the fact that he is alive and talking is, you know, a miracle. So I saw the video, and, you know, you sort of become numb to this stuff, even with something like this, where it was just so horrific and senseless and just, I mean, really uncalled for.
Like, you shooting the man in the back, he got his kids in the car. You know, like that used to be the thing, Marcus. Like, even, you know, back when it was quote unquote like the Wild Wild West, if you shot somebody in the back, that was like a cowardly move.
Yeah.
And looked down upon. And now we got an officer of the law. And it was like 3 of them, right? It was three officers.
3 officers, yep.
It's like 3 of y'all couldn't find a way, because I know they tased them and it didn't take effect, but tasers have settings, Marcus Vandenberg. So, like, if setting number 1 don't work, just dial it up a little bit. So the 3 of them couldn't find a way without shooting this man in the back to subdue him. And then he got paralyzed, you know, ended up being paralyzed from the waist down at the moment. And the thing that got me, the thing that showed me they really don't care about black people, and, like, let's not act like this dude was, like, completely innocent, but by the same token, like, this is not the way it should have been handled.
Mm-hmm.
By these officials, like the fact that they had the brother handcuffed at the hospital.
Yeah,
like, dude is paralyzed. Where the hell you think he going? Like, the fact that they had him handcuffed to the bed, it's like, come on, man. Like, you're not looking at this person, and by extension, you're not looking at black people and brown people and other people of color as citizens, as human beings, if you're treating us like this?
So I saw that news in the middle of the week, and that's something you see like in TV shows and movies when, you know, they arrest someone who also needs treatment at the hospital.
Yeah.
So I really don't know like if that's protocol, but it's a bad look regardless.
And it might be protocol, Marcus, but come on, you know.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Yeah. That was on Sunday, and then, you know, I saw it and figured it did not, I guess, at the time move me in the same way as George Floyd. I think there's something about George Floyd knowing A, that he died, and B, that he suffered for 8 minutes.
Yeah.
That was more, I think it just more disturbing than somehow. Well, a person getting shot 7 times.
Yeah, there's that, and there's also, like, and I hate to say it, Marcus, but there's a bit of fatigue.
Yeah.
Where this whole summer, whether you're talking about George Floyd or Breonna Taylor or Ahmaud Arbery or who's my man in Georgia? Rashawn? And then now you got Blake, and it's like, yeah, like all of these individually are moments that kind of shock you a bit. But when you put them on in a loop, one after the other, eventually, like, you know, I'm just speaking for me, like I saw the news about Blake and it's like, damn, that's crazy. But it didn't hit me in other ways. And I think it's because I've always been oversaturated by the mm-hmm. violence over the summer.
Yeah, it did not hit me. I don't think it hit Black America really until Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I believe Tuesday night was, and I'm not even going to mention his name because that's what he wants, I'm sure, but the 17-year-old who shot and killed the two
mm-hmm.
People in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I think that was sort of the tipping point, just knowing that we have seen how 17-year-old black men have been treated by mm-hmm. the police, treated by the media, treated by society. You know, 17, being black and 17 is different than being white and 17. And
yeah,
I think Tuesday was the perfect example.
Just the way people talk about it, right?
Uh-huh.
Like when they talk about Trayvon Martin or when they talk about some of these other young black men that aren't here anymore, they speak about them as men.
Yeah.
And when you got a situation like this kid with the gun, he's a child. And it's something that, like, you got people like Brett Kavanaugh out here talking about, you know, these are things I did in my youth. It's like, my nigga, you was like 28 when this stuff happened. And so it's like the hyper adultism that they give to black youth, and then the opposite, you know, where white kids and young adults seem to get the benefit of youth far into where they should be considered adults.
Yeah. I mean, I think TMZ had him described as a vigilante. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Nah, he's not a vigilante.
Like he Pootie Tang or Batman or the Lone Ranger. Like, no. Like, this, you're not a vigilante. You're some punk from another state.
That's the thing. Another state. You cross state lines to come to Wisconsin to quote unquote protect a city you don't live in, right? I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
And then, you know, he gets there and he's causing trouble, and apparently either he was already shooting or he was, you know, menacing. Trying to be menacing to people. And when the protesters were like, nah, you got to go, he turns around and starts firing and killed two people and wounded another person. And then the crazy thing is, Marcus, you would think after all this shooting and killing, somebody in the law enforcement would have apprehended this man. But nah, he just walked right on past him. With his hands up, with the gun on his shoulders, walked right on past them. And then they, look, got to go home and go to sleep. And then they arrested him the next day.
Could you imagine?
Like, you can't even be like, yo, if that person was black, because they wouldn't even, like, the sentence wouldn't even be finished before they took that brother out.
Oh, they would have, yeah, they would have killed him.
And is it like,
if not the police, then someone else, yeah. I mean, another person observing all this would have gone after him.
Yeah, and it's, I think the thing is, because people, whenever you talk about these disparities, Marcus, these discrepancies, you know, the go-to answer is, you know, well, all you have to do is comply.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we've seen cases where black and brown people comply and they still get killed versus when white people don't comply and actively engage in fisticuffs with the cops and they still get to, you know, they go to jail, but they still get to live in jail, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, like all of this, you know, you're talking about Tuesday, because all of this getting back to the NBA leads up to what Doc Rivers says. And I feel like between Doc and what the Bucks did, that set everything in motion.
Yeah, so Tuesday after the Clippers game, we had to mention this also during the RNC last week,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, probably added more fuel to the fire, as we saw last night in Portland. But
ladies and gentlemen, defenders of liberty,
yeah.
What the hell are you talking about? Like, now, I'm going to tell you what got me, though, Marcus. We'll get back to the NBA here in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But why the hell my man Herschel Walker out here and Andre Reed out here caping up for Donald Trump?
Like, oh, I miss Herschel, Andre Reed.
Yeah, Andre Reed was the next night. Because I want to say Herschel was Tuesday. Andre would have been Wednesday. Like, is Herschel still owed Trump money from the USFL? Like, or from that time he was on The Apprentice?
The Apprentice, man. Yeah.
Come on, Hersh. The money can't be that good, Herschel.
It's disappointing. Andre Reed, did he still have the haircut?
He was trying to hold on to it.
All right. Well. Yeah. Yeah, the RNC is a whole separate conversation. But
yeah.
So yeah, Doc Rivers essentially said, you know, he gave the Will Smith speech, as I like to call it. You know, what do you do when a country that loves you doesn't love you back? And I think that's how a lot of black people feel.
Mm. I'm going to let you finish, Marcus, but now let's fan cast that. Because, all right, so Doc is Will Smith in this scene. And in my mind, you might have a different Uncle Phil. But in my mind, Phil is Pop. Phil is Greg Popovich.
I was going to say Steve Ballmer.
Oh, that's a good one, too. But, yeah. But, yeah, he's like, how come this country don't love me, man? And then Popovich just sitting there. Just... And we'll get into that a little bit later, Marcus, because I want to get into some of these white coaches that's been out here, like, actually stepping up. You know, give credit what credit is due. We can talk about that after we get through with the big story.
Yeah, so that was Tuesday night. And then Wednesday, I mean, during all this, there was some chatter about the Raptors-Celtics series, maybe not starting on Thursday on time, because there was, especially from Fred VanVleet, discussions about not playing on Thursday. And then Wednesday rolls around, Wednesday afternoon, and I got back home, turned the TV on, and the Milwaukee Bucks were not on the court. And the Orlando Magic were on the court. They were going through warm-ups. The clock was running down towards tip-off, and there was no sign of Milwaukee. And, you know, cameras on the locker room. No one's coming out. You know, eventually it gets reported that, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks are not playing on Wednesday. They decided to – they initially wanted to forfeit the game and give it to the Magic, but the Magic did not want the pity victory like that. So it became an official postponement, but that led to the other two games Wednesday night to be postponed as well. And then we saw baseball get in on the protest as well. and they had games on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday that were also postponed. We saw the WNBA did not play Wednesday or Thursday. NHL did not play Thursday and Friday. So this became a sort of a ripple effect throughout professional sports. And this is new. Like, we've never seen something like this.
I don't know how much you watch the Boondocks, but this is like the Martin Luther King episode of the Boondocks.
I remember that speech, but I don't remember the full episode.
Yeah, because basically Martin Luther King Jr. comes back. You know, he wasn't killed when he got shot. He was just in a coma. And he comes back and he sees how American culture and black culture is. And he sees like iPhone and McDonald's are using his images without the family's consent. And he goes to a Welcome Back Martin Luther King party. And he thinks it's going to be something positive. And it's just, you know, one of these trifling club parties. You know, they, like, I'm sure some trifling club is going to have a Black Panther party this weekend or the next, because that's how they do, complete with tacky flyer. And that's what they did to Martin Luther King. And he gives this crazy speech about black people. Which you got to, like, you need to be watching the Boondocks anyway, listeners, but you can check out the clip on YouTube. But basically, Martin Luther King gives this speech and he's like, and I know y'all might not be used to me talking like this, but I believe that we going to get to the mountaintop, but I won't be here because I'm going to Canada. And Martin Luther King goes off to Canada and everybody's like, what the hell just happened? And one of the consequences of the speech is black entertainers and athletes start using their leverage and the NBA boycotts until certain political things get put in place. And so when I saw what happened this week, that's immediately what I thought of, Marcus. It was like, The Boondocks is coming to life. Like, the Boondocks, like, they predicted the Popeye's chicken sandwich craze, and now they predicted the NBA players causing political change.
Aaron McGruder, ahead of his time.
So,
that was Wednesday. And then Wednesday night, there was a meeting with the players at Disney.
Yes, now this is where I want to know what you think about this, because you know Mark is in the bubble. Mark Spears is from ESPN. You know, I'm sure you probably know plenty of people in the bubble. So, I don't know how much you can divulge, but what is your general sense of what went down during that meeting?
So, I never thought the players would stop playing, like, going home. I think that sounds great in theory, but this is still a business. And for the NBA to just get up and walk away from the playoffs would have ultimately hurt the players in the end, because it would have forced the CBA to be torn up and the owners would have not felt any sympathy for the players. They would have, you know, tried to get what they feel is right. And it would have cost guys money. So. Yeah.
And not only that, but it would have been a waste of the sacrifices that the players have made up to this point.
Yeah, they've been in the bubble for 2 months now. They have, you know, they've aced that test in terms of playing basketball in the bubble.
They've set the standard.
Zero positive tests. They've set the standard. They have, come on, Black Lives Matter on the court. Like, that might seem trivial on paper. But if you asked me 2 years ago, would you ever see a situation where the phrase Black Lives Matter would be on an NBA court for the entire summer? I would say you're out of your mind. But that's where we are. We have, you know, people don't agree with some of the messaging or some of the language from the jerseys that they felt was kind of weak. But there are jerseys that are, you know, clearly inspired by some form of activism. Like, that's happening. Mm-hmm. So there's all these things that the NBA is able to do while playing basketball. And if they were to go home, they would be literally going home. And a lot of that momentum would be stopped, especially, you know, considering the NBA will be playing up until 3 weeks before the election. So between now and the middle of October, especially after this latest pause in the season, I think we're going to see a lot more messaging geared towards voting and how important that is. So a lot of the stuff they couldn't do unless they played basketball. So when you saw the stuff about the Lakers and Clippers not voting to play, like, it's a leverage move. That's LeBron and Kawhi exerting their power to ultimately get what they got from the owners on Thursday. But I was not super concerned about, you know, the season suddenly shutting down. So, and to be honest, the players, for the most part, sounded like they wanted to play. To the point where the players were kind of upset at Milwaukee because they were not in on this situation. I think they were in favor of it, but when you have one team going out to warm up and the other team is not intending to play and you didn't tell that team, you know, it's kind of fucked up. So I get the frustration.
It'd be like if, you know, you took baby Simba out of daycare without telling your lovely wife and you took him on a wonderful father-son outing. Like, in theory, that's a great thing, but you didn't communicate with your partner, and now you're in trouble when you get home.
Yes. So the Bucks were a little bit of trouble, but, you know, they meant well. So they the NBA decided on Thursday to continue the season, and they continued on Saturday, as we've seen over the weekend. But, you know, I think the big takeaway for me was just that the other leagues were also taking part in their own way, including the NHL, which at first caught a lot of shit because, you know, there were games on Wednesday and, you know, the NHL has its own set of issues with diversity. But the fact that they paused play two nights was, you know, noteworthy.
So I think the big thing for me, Marcus, that I think I was most proud of the players for, and you alluded to it with LeBron, is not just the fact that they did this and they, you know, had the work stoppage, but they were able to use that and spin it towards something positive, you know, in terms of something that has concrete effects, and that is using the arenas as polling locations.
And we saw some of this before this week with the Hawks announcing that, you know, Phillips would be a polling center. LeBron.
And didn't LeBron do something with Dodger Stadium?
Dodger Stadium's going to be a polling center.
Question, Marcus. So let's say, theoretically, hypothetically, if I'm in L.A. and I go to Dodger Stadium in November to get my vote on, like, that's a cool concept. But is are the concessions gonna be open? Can I get me a Dodger dog and get my vote on?
Probably not with COVID, no.
Cause see, to me, that, like, I mean, it's a good idea anyway, but that would take it over the top. If I give me a Dodger dog and some souvenirs and get my vote on.
I mean, I think in a perfect world that's what they would try to set up, but I feel like they're doing the one to get people in and out without much lingering, but.
Do you think this might be something that lasts beyond COVID? Because I think one of the interesting in terms of using these stadiums, because I think one of the interesting things about a lot of these stadiums is that a lot of them are like adjacent to the inner cities, and we've seen how districts have been gerrymandered and how voter suppression tactics have been used to affect the inner cities. This could be a way to kind of combat that.
Well, what I would love to see is you got to figure all of these arenas and stadiums. I can't see a lot of people dropping off Trump votes at these locations. So I would love to know what the percentage of Biden votes that are coming in through these centers compared to Trump. And if that has a meaningful impact on the election.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people who might not have been able to vote under normal circumstances going, you know, to their polling place just because, like we've seen, Marcus, you know, during the midterms, like the long lines in some of these places where people, you know, standing around for hours because it's the only place in that location. And, you know, they don't have enough people to staff it. Whereas if you're doing this in an arena, sure, it's, you know, you're still going to have a long line, but you have the ability to have more stations and get
and
people
this is
through.
Over several days too. This yeah. isn't just November 3rd. This was yep. this is going to be like a week leading up to November 3rd. So it gives people the chance to vote early if they want to, yep. and not deal with the sort of stress of trying to vote on election day. On top, of
and
the
it's
fact
a, like
that,
it's a cool little gimmick too, because like yeah. a lot of those, I don't know how many of these people. I mean, granted, there's no game going on, but you know, going to a stadium is kind of cool.
You know, especially let's say, I'm sure, you know, if the Dodgers win, people will want to go to Dodger Stadium, even though the Dodgers won't be there. There'll be something to attract people. But then same time, like a lot of people haven't been to stadiums since March.
Yeah.
And this will probably be their first time back to a Staples Center or Phillips Arena since the shutdown. And even though there won't be any action going on, you know, if you're a sports fan, you might just want to pop your head in and see what's new. I mean, November 3rd should be the first week of the 2020-2021 NBA season if everything was on track. But as we know, the NBA will be delayed for next season. Baseball will be done. So timing-wise, it works out in terms of getting all of these facilities – to be open because there won't be any sports going on.
I wonder if Killer Mike is going to be open at State Farm Arena.
Get your cut, get your vote.
Yep, get you a cut, get your ballot on. Yeah. I think this is a really cool use of the leverage that the players acquired through all of this. And it looks like that's not the only thing, because I think one of the things that the players wanted was more backing from ownership on this, particularly when you talk about some of these owners who are connected with the seats of government in the states and the cities that they play in. And so it's like, yeah, if you're a Mavericks player, you want Mark Cuban to be able to call up the governor or be able to call up the mayor of Dallas and be able to be like, hey, we need to talk about some of these reforms.
Mm-hmm. We forgot to mention that during all this, former President Obama did meet with LeBron and a couple of the players. They had a phone call. And
your man MJ was in on this.
Yeah, that's
Michael Jordan. Who is this new Michael Jordan, Marcus Vandenberg?
Well, it was going to cost him money, so he was going to make sure that it became personal when the money became involved, so.
The owners, what the owners pledge, was it $300 million over the next 10 years?
Yeah, and this is before the stuff, before the stuff this past week, so. The money, it seems like, is there. But, and I think I saw it was, might have been Jaylen Brown, another player that, they're still skeptical of the owners doing right, but, you know, give the owners a shot to see if they actually follow through on some of the stuff and go from there.
And to their credit, like, I trust the NBA owners a lot more than the owners of the other sports. Because we still ain't heard nothing from your boy Jerry out in Dallas.
Yeah.
Jerry ain't been on a mic. He ain't been on a TV show. He ain't been in nobody's newspaper.
No, he's popped up the last couple weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What Jerry talking about?
Not much, but he's alive at least. He's around.
Be like, Jerry, do black lives matter? Well, you know, I believe ever all lives matter. You know, whether you're black, white, doesn't matter what color your skin is. You know, my skin's been surgically repaired 3 times already. But yeah, I think that this is something that will have lasting ramifications, Marcus, and it. I think it shows, you know, not to use LeBron's catchphrase, but like this is more than ball, right? Like these players are actually using their power and using their station and their privilege as professional athletes in a way that we hadn't really seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because they certainly weren't doing this back when MJ, you know, some athletes were, right? But this collective kind of united front from all the players, we didn't see this back in the 90s, right? We didn't see this really in the 80s. Like, you had to kind of almost go back to, like, the Kareem days and the Bill Russell days for something like this.
I think the key is all players. Because, look, I mean, all players are not Democrats. All players aren't liberals, you know. As you saw, all players don't believe in Black Lives Matter in some form, some measure or form, or taking a knee for the anthem. Like, that wasn't a universal thing in the NBA. So the fact that everyone was on board with this, I think, sort of speaks a lot to just the unity. And maybe a lot of that, too, is just all of you guys have been stuck in the bubble. And even though you're not all in the same hotel, there is probably this sense of this bonding sense of, like, you know, 22 teams staying down here together to see this through. A lot of people didn't think it would happen. Let's all sort of be on the same page for this.
Yeah, and it's something Chris Paul spoke to this past week, where before the Thunder got bounced, it was something Chris Paul spoke to about this is the most connected he's seen the players in a long time since he's been in the league for 15 years. So I think that this is something that could be like the start of something really big and could actually change some things. So we'll see what happens with the political ramifications, Marcus, but real quick, let's talk about what's going on these courts. LeBron, your man LeBron came back fired up. Yeah. And the Lakers have advanced. They vanquished your man Dame, so Dame is already out the bubble. Do you feel like the Lakers are back on track now, Marcus?
Not yet. They did not look great last night, even though, you know, LeBron and Anthony Davis had these great stat lines, but they were playing a Portland team without Damian Lillard, without Zach Collins. I mean, they're just, you know, really beat up. And they struggled until really the fourth quarter. So they did not look 100% yet, which, granted, they did win four games in a row, and that's saying a little bit of something, but if they were to go into the next round and lose a game one again, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, it feels like the way that they're going to win, if they are going to win, is a lot of LeBron, a lot of AD, and like little bits and pieces from everybody else, because that's all you're going to get. Like, you can't count on Danny Green to really have a big game. You can't really count on Kyle Kuzma. You know, you can't count on some of these other players. So it's like when you had to do a school project, Marcus, back in the day, and the teacher put you in like a group of five. It was really only two people doing the work. The other three just like looked up an article in the magazine, or went on the internet and printed something out. That's all the work they contributed. The other two, though, were the only ones really doing work, and I feel like that's what the Lakers' story will be if they're able to win.
I will say, assuming Houston closes out Oklahoma City on Monday, the small ball Rockets, if I'm a Lakers
I think that they're going to wrap it up. Like, I feel like the Thunder, it's about time.
Yeah, they didn't look too great on Saturday, but I don't see the Rockets being the team that beats the Lakers.
No.
I mean, and, you know, they did play the Lakers once they went for the small ball, and they beat the Lakers at home. But trying to play seven games with no real big man and trying to stop Anthony Davis, I don't see how, you know, Jeff Green's not going to be the guy to slow down Anthony Davis. It's not going to be PJ Tucker, but this is the philosophy they're going with. This is the sort of Mike D'Antoni desperation move they're going with, and I think it's going to get exposed in this Nets round.
Yeah, I feel like if the Lakers are going to lose, it might not be into the Western Conference Finals. I feel like that's going to be the real test.
Yeah. If it's if Utah somehow gets to, you know, gets to that point, I don't see, you know, the Jazz beating the Lakers. But
no.
Assuming it's the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals, then yeah, that's where I see the road trouble for them.
Yeah, like that Denver series is interesting to me. Because I feel like even though the Jazz have the advantage, I feel like it still could go either way. Like I'm not sold on either team, really.
It feels like that one's going to go Game 7, right?
Yeah. And I thought Dallas had a shot, but I think they're too beat up. Like the Clippers are starting to coalesce, and the Mavericks are a little too banged up. So I feel like if they were at full strength, that could have gone to at least 6, maybe 7. But I feel like the Clippers are going to put them away next game.
Oh, it's over. Clippers won today.
Oh, they did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I must have missed that.
Yeah, the Clippers.
Only thing I saw was your boy Marcus Morris doing Marcus Morris things.
Yeah, that was today. Yeah. the Mavericks came back.
Oh, yeah, okay, but I see it now. Yeah.
Yeah, the Clippers pulled away. So, yeah, that Clippers have won. They advanced, so they're waiting for the winner of Utah and Denver.
Oh yeah. It's gonna be a wrap. Unless something crazy happens or somebody gets hurt, it's gonna be LA in the finals.
Yeah.
All LA. And in that one, as of right now, Marcus, if I had to put money down, I'd say Lakers in 7, but that's a very tenuous 7.
I mean both LA teams have been a little flawed during the playoffs so far.
Yeah. The question is, it comes down to because I think LeBron and Kawhi cancel each other out.
Mm-hmm.
So the question to me is, because I feel like Anthony Davis is a better number 2 than Paul George, but then the Clippers' depth is much better than the Lakers.
Yes.
So the question is, if, you know, 1 and 2 kind of cancel out, where's the other scoring going to come from? Or who's going to bring that defensive stop? So I'm leaning towards LeBron, but again, anything could happen in a 7-game series.
Yeah, the Clippers bench is deeper than the Lakers bench, but I think the Lakers starting 5 trumps the Clippers starting 5, especially with Beverly not being 100%.
Yeah.
You know, you got Marcus Morris didn't toss in the second quarter, and, you know, just doing Morris twin stuff. So actually, that would be fun. Marcus versus Markeith,
because
the other twin is on the Lakers. So
maybe
they'll keep the peace.
I was gonna say if I'm one of the Morris twins, I call him up during, you know, tonight and be like, hey, bro, regardless of which one of us win in the Western Conference Finals, we both get in the ring. Because they can't tell the difference. So one game could be Marcus. Next game is Markeith.
You never know.
And we can share the ring. It'll be like Devo with the bike. Like, we're going to share it. It's both ours, but we just keep it at Marcus's house.
I mean, at one point, they were living together. I don't know if they still live together now, but they're pretty close.
Let's see. Over in the East, Marcus, we got Milwaukee and Miami. And Boston and your Toronto Raptors. What you got in those series?
Milwaukee, Miami. I do like this Heat team a lot.
They're an interesting team. I feel like they don't, like, if you just look at the rosters, nobody outside of Jimmy Butler really pops.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a good team. And, you know, they kind of work well together. But that being said, it's still hard to bet against Giannis.
Yeah, I'm going to go Bucks in 7.
Mm.
And
I'll go Milwaukee in six.
Okay. And Celtics Raptors started today. Boston won game one.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go Raptors in seven.
Oh, so you calling on this comeback. I'm inclined to lean Toronto, but I feel like
great today.
Yeah, I feel like this is such a weird postseason that all it takes is, you know, one or two games. And like if this were a regular postseason where you actually travel between games mm-hmm. and you got time to regroup and stuff like that, it's a different story. But I feel like in this bubble, if you can, like if Boston can steal the next game, it might be a wrap. Like they might be able to roll from there.
Though we did see last year at Toronto, they were down 2-0 against the Bucks and won 4 straight. So if there's a team I feel like could come back, it would be Toronto.
Yes. But we'll see, though, because these coaches out here are still killing me, Marcus. And we'll pivot and talk about what some of these other coaches have been talking about this past week. But when they've interviewed these NBA coaches during the postseason, they're still locked into, like, regular NBA life and regular NBA mode. And so they talk about, you know, we did a good job getting the split. You know, we got to secure home court. Like, sir, y'all playing on the same damn court you was playing on yesterday.
Hey, they get the DJ. You know, it matters.
I mean, yeah, that was the one of the best moments of the postseason thus far when they played some of that Oakland stuff for Dame.
Yes.
So, but unfortunately, that's over. Dame time is over.
It is over.
But let's talk about real quick, Marcus. Some of these other sports out here, and in particular, what some of these other coaches have been saying, because I've never really been a fan of your man Pete Carroll, Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
But Pete Carroll out here on these streets, you know, being a little woke.
How do you not like Pete Carroll, number one? Is he trying too hard for you?
Yeah, Pete Carroll feels like, you know, he feels like a youth pastor. Like a rah-rah, everybody's, we're all in this together. And it's like, I understand the sentiment, but at the same time, like, you ain't got to be that happy. Like, he's somebody that wakes up at 6 in the morning, smiling, mm-hmm. singing a damn song.
That's why he was great at USC, I think. He just was able to relate to and motivate college kids.
Like, the fact that guy's worked as long as he has and as well as he has at this NFL level, at least with this run with the Seahawks,
mm-hmm.
like it feels like it shouldn't have worked this long because, you know, well, and we've seen with a couple of the players, like that attitude hadn't worked with all of them. But for the most part, the fact that it's worked out and his players respond to him and they haven't kind of tuned him out by now, like that's pretty cool. I feel like that's a success.
It's been 10 years now.
It doesn't even feel like he's been there that long.
And he should have 2 Super Bowls, but that's on him. That's on him.
Should have gave the ball to Marshawn, you would have been all right.
Man, 2 rings. Oh, well. but, yes, Pete Carroll, I'll read you part of his speech from Saturday.
Mm.
He said, quote, "Black people can't scream anymore. They can't march anymore. They can't bear their souls anymore to what they've lived with for hundreds of years because white guys came over from Europe and started a new country with a great idea and great ideals and wrote down great writings and laws and all of that about democracy and freedom and equality for all. And that's not what happened because you went down this other road here. You followed economics and rich white guys making money and they put together a system of slavery and we've never left it really. It's never gone away. The really amazing thing I learned is black people know the truth. They know exactly what's going on. It's white people that don't know. And it's not that they're not telling us. They've been telling us. We know what's right and what's wrong. We just have not been open to listen to it."
Okay.
Whew.
Okay. We see you, Peter Trevante Carroll. I saw that this afternoon, and I was like, okay. Like, the fact that we've got – because we've seen coaches in the NBA, you know, white coaches in the NBA like Greg Popovich Steve Kerr. Mm-hmm. Or your man Stan Van Gundy, who out here on these streets, you know, repping Black Lives Matter. But for it to be an NFL coach, like, I feel like the NFL is a different animal when it comes to being socially conscious. And so the fact that you got – not just a coach, but who's won a Super Bowl out here talking about you know, what's going on in the country. I thought that was really important.
Yeah, and what he said was true. I mean, he laid out a lot of facts, and you know, clearly I'm not a white person, so I don't know how white people feel when it comes to some of that. I guess inner guilt about their ancestors taking part in slavery, but really, and you can back me up as another Black person, I don't think we hold that against our white peers, right? We don't look at white people and say, your great, 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 great grandfather was a slave owner, therefore, you know, you're not,
I mean,
you're not worth
speak for
time.
Yourself, Marcus. I walk around with Ancestry.com on the phone. Like, what'd you say your last name again was? Okay, Babcock, B-A-B. So your grandfather owned 20 slaves. Interesting. Yeah. But no, yeah, you're right. Like, it's not something that we hold against. Like, history is history. It's happened. Mm-hmm. We can't change the past. But what we can all do is affect the way we treat people right now. And so, like, I feel like somebody like Pete Carroll in his station, in his position to have historical context and be like, yeah, we got to do better. Like, I can respect that. And it's like, it's real telling, Marcus, when you see some of these people respond online to whether it's Pete Carroll or whether it was, you know, when Roger Goodell was talking about Black Lives Matter, or when Stan Van Gundy says something like, oh, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about, coach. I used to be a Seahawks fan. It's like, people, because what Pete said, it's important, but it really, like, it's not like Pete was out here on some revolutionary Malcolm X type stuff, right? Like, Pete's saying basic things that I think we can all agree on. Like, sensible, rational people can agree that, like, yeah, like, the country's original sin, as Max Kellerman puts it, is slavery, and all, a lot of the problems that the country still has is related to that. And it's like, yeah, Pete's not saying anything crazy here, but a lot of people tell on themselves with the way they react to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think what it comes down to is treat us like you treat your white peers. Mm-hmm. And that's all we're asking for. Like, we're not asking for any special privileges or anything else. I mean, it comes down to equality.
We're not asking for Black supremacy, as Terry Crews would say.
Oh, God.
Terry Crews. Did you see his tweet this past week, Marcus?
I did, about Magic City.
It's about boycotting Magic City.
He's not even talking about Magic City. Why is he so... I know why, because he's so now anti-smut and porn, but...
Yeah, Terry's, he's like, this whole year has been a weird transformation for Terry Crews. Cause I remember, like, a year ago, Terry, like Black people was riding for Terry. Like, we appreciated what Terry was doing out here. And I feel like Marcus, I said this on the Black Lightning podcast. I feel like once Terry kind of got over and showed people what Hollywood was about, you know, during talking about the person that had sexually harassed him. Mm-hmm. I feel like Hollywood was like, okay, Negro, you got us this one time, but you better tap dance for the rest of your life or we're going to destroy you. And Terry was like, okay, boss. Because Terry been tap dancing ever since. And it's like, why?
I don't get it. Where is his wife? Where's Rebecca?
Yeah. Or where is his social media team? Like, why? Why y'all let this man tweet?
Yeah.
Terry shouldn't have said nothing for the past 6 months. Like, just Just promote your America's Got Talent and don't say anything else.
Yeah, but he keeps tweeting, and I don't know if he's trying to appeal towards his white audience now. Oh, he did have a follow-up put on. He said, my tweet yesterday, however, well-intentioned, was ill-timed. I pray for the many women trapped and trafficked in the life of the sex industry and see no way out. I want them to know that they are not product to be used, but people to be loved.
Mm.
Now, I am not a strip club expert by any means, but I feel like if you work in the Magic City, you kind of want to work there. You're not, there's not sex trafficking going out of Magic City. I mean, maybe
that's a prominent club. Like that's like,
if you work in the Magic City, strip clubs for itself.
If you work in the Magic City, you're not, you know, being forced into like sexual traffic. I don't believe. Like maybe some of these other local little rinky dink strip clubs.
Yeah,
might be something going on, but not in Magic City with the Lou Williams lemon pepper wings.
Yeah,
Lou Williams wouldn't put his name on an establishment that okayed and advocated sex trafficking.
Let's hope not.
So yeah, Ted, I don't know what the hell going on with Terry.
I don't know.
We're living in a world where Pete Carroll is a moral authority and Terry Crews has lost his damn mind. So I didn't know, like, I feel like this is the first time I've ever really looked at Pete Carroll's backstory, because I didn't know Pete Carroll was, like, I don't know, he's born in San Francisco. Like, he's, so he's been about that kind of hippie lifestyle.
Uh-huh.
That new age positivity.
Yep.
He got a little Bill Walton in him.
Probably likes the ganja.
Yeah. That's probably why him and Marshawn got along so well.
Might
That's
be.
Why he brought him back last year.
For a supply.
You're like, you bring the weed, I'll bring the Skittles, Marshawn. But yeah, let's pivot, Marcus, to our final topic this week. Some sad news, because one of Hollywood's and one of Black Hollywood in particular's most prominent actors has left us, Marcus, to go back to the ancestral plains, if you will.
Yeah, this was the tag line at SummerSlam was, "You'll never see this coming." Well.
Mm-hmm.
No one saw this coming
on
Friday night when Chadwick Boseman died at the age of 43 from colon cancer.
Mm.
And if you're not listening yet, Nate did a podcast on the Patreon feed. Maybe we should attach it to this episode, Nate, instead of uploading it. Separate.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, we'll add that on at the end of the, like, we'll do like a law extra, like John and White used to do.
Yes.
And add the Black Panther tribute, not the Black Panther, the Chadwick Boseman tribute. I'm saying Black Panther because I got it on in the background because ABC decided to air it tonight because your boy Mickey don't miss no checks, Marcus.
Nope. Listen, Mickey's down in the hole. Mickey's trying to make some money back.
Mickey said, Chadwick passed. Ho ho! Hey, tell Ellen we're not going to run celebrity games tonight. Ho ho! Put that Black Panther on, fam. Ho ho! What kind of family, my nigga? Like, damn, Mickey, this is what we're doing. But yeah, they're airing Black Panther and then doing like a tribute for Chadwick after the fact. But yeah, we'll tack on that tribute I recorded Friday night at the end of this episode. But yeah, it was crazy, Marcus, because it felt like we had gotten through the week as Black people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we'd have been through the protests. We'd have been through the NBA players going through their work stoppage. Everything was getting back to normal Friday night. And then it was like late. It was like late Friday night, Marcus, like 11 o'clock Friday night.
Yeah.
When the news broke, because I was exercising at the time. Like, I was on my exercise bike. I had my music going. I was drinking a little something, because, you know, I'd be drinking sometimes when I exercise, Marcus. And you could say that's counterproductive, but it's more productive than it would be if I was just sitting down drinking. So,
true.
It's like the Kevin Hart gif. It's like, you right. So I started getting all these notifications from the we got like a group chat on Twitter for the Black Lightning podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept seeing all these notifications, and then, like, you know, notifications, you can't see the whole message, but you can see a part of it. And so somebody was like, damn. And the next person was like, yo, this is crazy. And the next person was like, man, this is wild. And I'm thinking they're talking about just like regular Hollywood stuff, because they'll post stuff that's going on in Hollywood. Like when your man from Justice League, Ray Fisher, came out and said that he was being abused on the set or whatever. So I thought it was just something like that. And so I'll talk to them after I get through exercise. So I'm still in my mode, still exercising, got my music on. And then Marcus tweeted something. He's like, sent me something on Facebook. And he's like, we should have waited to record. Oh, it's a good thing we didn't record, because we were planning to record Friday. He's like, it's a good thing we didn't record today. And so I'm like, let me find out what that is. But I still got like 30 minutes left, so let me keep pedaling. And then finally, here's the thing, Marcus. Like, it popped up out of nowhere. I want to say it was like a Google alert. So this is right around midnight. Google alert, bloop. Black Panther star Chadwick Boseman dead at 43. And I'm like, huh? So then I had to stop. I went in, checked the Facebook message from Marcus, checked the Twitter messages from the Black Lightning group. I was like, oh, damn. Like, this is legitimate. Because I had MSNBC on while I was on the bike. So, like, they hadn't cut into any of the programming yet to say something about it. And so then I was like, oh, this is actually real.
Yeah.
And so then, like, yeah, from midnight on, that's when you started to see, like, a lot of the news outlets and the TV stations kind of pick up on it. And it just kind of went from there. So, like, it was – I think the most crazy thing to me about it, Marcus, is the fact that he had been battling the cancer for 4 years. And nobody knew about it, right? Like, I think – Ryan Coogler said he didn't find out until this past year, because Chadwick and the family told him this past year. I guess, you know, maybe they let him know, give him a heads up just in case.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, nobody, like, his family and his team around him kept that on the down low. Like, nobody really knew that he was going through all this stuff while making these movies.
I think that's the most remarkable part, was he continued to not only work, but work at a high level.
Yeah. He out here doing stunts and physical stuff.
Yeah.
And while at the same time, you know, going through treatment for the cancer. It's like, wow. Like, the fact that he had that much perseverance to do all that is crazy. And, you know, again, like, I feel like a lot of people will focus on Black Panther, but I'm glad that this past weekend people were talking about 42, and people were talking about the Thurgood Marshall movie, and people were talking about, you know, the Five Bloods, and 21 blocks?
21 Bridges.
21 Bridges. Yeah, I don't know what block movie I'm thinking of. I think that might be a Spike Lee movie, like something called like 18 Blocks or something like that. To New York, because all Spike Lee movies.
Oh, the movie with Denzel.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
But yeah, so 21 Bridges. And so, like, I feel like people are kind of getting to see more of the catalog, Get On Up, you know, mm-hmm. the movies that he did beyond just Black Panther.
And his resume is, I guess, not as deep as you might think. He did not do a lot of movies, but I think the movies he did do were impactful. And maybe that was sort of by design of being maybe a little more selective in the projects he took on.
Yeah, he doesn't feel like, and it's not that there's anything wrong with being the type of actor that takes every job because it's a job. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he felt like he wanted to be in roles, particularly as a black actor. Like, he wasn't playing thug number two. You know, he wasn't playing kind of the typical stereotypical roles. He wanted to play roles that showed black people in the best light, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, the joke was, after a while, like, he gonna play every famous black person.
Well, in that sense, he's probably the most impactful actor of our generation, just based on, I mean, Jackie Robinson, James Brown, Thurgood Marshall, T'Challa. Like,
yeah.
Those four.
Like, if those were the only four movies he did, that's already, like, a great resume.
Yeah.
But then you throw in, like you said, you know, Five Bloods, which I think a lot of people slept on when it first came out, and then they go back to check it out now.
Yeah,
and then 21 Bridges. Pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I feel like a lot of his movies are going to be, you know, either watched more on Netflix or bought, you know, at the Amazon store, stuff like that. So, yeah, I feel like this is a good chance for people to kind of look at his whole catalog.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other thing, like, that's getting a lot of play this weekend, Marcus, is the speech he gave at Howard. Because I've seen that a couple times this weekend as well. And so you see, like, this.
That yet.
Oh, it's yeah, it's excellent. Yeah, because you see kind of the real dude behind the characters that he portrayed or the people he portrayed on screen. And then you also see him doing a lot of stuff for, you know, St. Jude's and some of these other cancer facilities for the kids. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy. Like, he's spending all this time and energy, you know, brightening these kids' day and giving them hope while at the same time he had cancer.
Yeah.
And nobody knew it.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you finally watched Black Panther, Marcus, because you was holding out on that one for a while.
I did see it. How big of a role does he play in Avengers?
I would say in order of importance to the movies, it's Black Panther, obviously, number one. Civil War, number two. Which I went back and watched Civil War again yesterday.
So that was the first time we saw him play T'Challa, correct?
Yeah.
Civil War.
Yeah, because Civil War introduced T'Challa and it introduced Peter Parker, Spider-Man.
Okay.
So that was both of their first movies. And he's like outside of, because really it's Captain America and Iron Man's movie. But after those guys is, you know, T'Challa's next on the list.
Okay.
So I would go Black Panther, Civil War, Infinity War, and then Endgame. And he, like, because Endgame is basically just kind of focused around the original Avengers. But yeah, so yeah, you now that you, I know you got that Disney Plus, you probably got that Disney Plus Platinum, so you can go back and watch them all, Marcus.
I've tried watching Iron Man like three different times, and gotten like 15 minutes in, and then something will happen, or you know, Ash will do something, or you know, I'll just get sidetracked. So fourth time to charm, maybe. Trying to pass Iron Man.
But yeah, I would say, like, if you specifically, or the audience is specifically looking for Chadwick with the Marvel stuff, I would watch. Like, really, like, you can watch all four, but if you're only going to watch the important ones, I'd watch Civil War and then Black Panther.
Okay.
Because you get the introduction character, and then you get the continuation of his story.
All right.
So, and it'll be interesting, man, because, like, there has to be a Black Panther 2 because it made so much damn money. Mm-hmm. And it meant so much to people. And so, like, obviously that's way down the list of things to be thinking about in terms of Chadwick Boseman and his passing. But just as a Marvel fan, it's like, huh, I wonder how they're going to pull that off.
I think they – first of all, I think Chadwick would want the franchise to go on.
Yeah.
Because of what it meant for Black people in particular. So I think we will see a second film. I wonder who was on the list if Chadwick wasn't cast in that role. I wonder who else was sort of in the running for that role, and if they would maybe go down that list or cast me.
Yeah, I think you can. There's one or two ways you can go, because I think like the character of Black Panther has to be in the movie, but I don't think they'll recast T'Challa. So like in the comics, Shuri's been a Black Panther before, so they could make it so that, you know, something has happened to T'Challa and Shuri has to take the mantle. Or like you said, you know, obviously they had a list of people before they made the movie. So one of those people could be the new Black Panther, but it's a new character, and it's not somebody, it's not like you getting John David Washington to play T'Challa, because I don't think the audience would be down for that.
Oh, in that case, then yeah, if they can sort of not cast or cast with someone else that's already in the film.
Yeah, because the Black Panther is it's a mantle. It's not particularly one, because remember his father in the first one. I mean, his father was a Black Panther.
So it's
something that gets passed down. So, or they could give it to your man M'Baku, because remember he was trying to fight for it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like there's a way to do it where we still get Black Panther, but we also kind of pay respect to Chadwick and T'Challa.
Okay. In that case, then yeah, I think the franchise will go on at some point.
Because you just look, this ain't like when they replaced Terrence Howard with Don Cheadle.
Yeah.
Nobody cared about that. Like you can't just throw another black dude in and say this is the new T'Challa, because people ain't gonna be here for that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially not after, you know, kind of the way this death kind of hit people.
Yeah, but I do think they'll find a way to address, or at least have some type of tribute for Chadwick in the next film.
Yeah, especially knowing, like, because I didn't know, like, obviously they were, you know, all these people worked together, but I didn't know how close that cast was.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ryan Coogler was to Chadwick. So I feel like they're going to do their best to pay respect to him.
Yeah.
So, and like you said, he would want the movie to go on because of what it meant, especially to the kids.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just too important, because there hasn't been a movie, a character where, I guess especially young black kids, young black boys, can sort of see someone as a superhero and see themselves in that role. I mean, even Princess and the Frog, like it's been 10 years now. There hasn't been another Disney movie that has featured a black princess in that role. So, you know, since that has not really carried on, we need Black Panther to carry on and sort of have our story out there.
Yeah, and the thing with Black Panther is it opened the doors in Hollywood, because without Black Panther, I don't know if we get Into the Spider-Verse, you know, with a black and Latino lead character.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we get Shang-Chi, which is a movie Marvel's coming out with whenever production can start again, where your lead is an Asian person. You know, so I feel like what Black Panther did was it let Hollywood know. It gave Hollywood permission to allow black people and brown people to be the stars of the movie.
Yeah, it's always, oh, well, who's going to go see movies starring black leads, or in this case, pretty much an all-black cast. And, well, $1.3 billion later, there's your answer. So
it's like $700 million just in America.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, so it's gonna be interesting, because like hold on, Marcus, talk some more about Black Panther. I'm gonna show the audience something here, exclusive on the Patreon video feed.
And you know, despite how much money the film made, there has not been any talk yet about introducing Wakanda into the Disney parks, but I'm hoping that once things return to normal and the mouse is making money again, that we will see a Wakanda at one of the parks.
Yeah, we need that Wakanda land. for the first month, only black people allowed in.
Best food and theme parks, Wakanda land.
We could make it like the movie. You know, they didn't open up to the outside world at first. It took a while. Mm-hmm. So for the first 30 days, just black people allowed to Wakanda. like you know how to. They give you the stamp on your hand in the park mm-hmm. sometimes. They'll give you like the lip tattoo. You got to show to get in. Now, what I was going to show the people, Marcus, is, you know, I got the phone here. You know, I got the Black Panther wallpaper. And you're like, okay, Nate, anybody can have the Black Panther wallpaper. I'm like, yeah, that is true. But how many people got the Black Panther phone protector?
Oh, okay.
How many people got that Black Panther wallet? That's not officially licensed, I don't believe.
Well, I won't tell them else.
Like I got my sun protector.
Mm-hmm.
It's Black Panther. Like it's like this seal of the nation of Wakanda that I found on Amazon. So I got that. So yeah, like and people have talked like when I've come out of either the restaurant or come out of the store. Somebody will see like the sun protector and they'll be like, oh, is that Black Panther? I'm like, yeah, that's Black Panther. And we had like a little 2-minute conversation of Black Panther. And sometimes it's like old white ladies. Like they was like, excuse me, is that Black Panther from the Avengers? And we'll have a conversation about it. Like, I like that movie. Well, I'm glad you did, Miss Betsy. So yeah, like I feel like Black Panther is going to get the lion's share, no pun intended, of the attention when it comes to Chadwick Boseman, but you can't let that one thing be the only thing you talk about when you talk about his life.
Mm-hmm.
And also, and maybe this can be a pivot to, as we kind of close the show, to talk about what we're doing with the Patreon. I think if there's a positive to be gained, besides the fact that people are taking more interest in his career, it's also that people need to pay more attention to their health, especially black people and particularly black men who don't go to the doctor as much as they need to. Because, you know, by the time Chadwick was diagnosed, like they said, it was already stage 3, which is like once you get that deep into it, it's not a whole lot you can do. So I feel like, you know, black men, we need to get prostate checks. You know, we should be getting physicals every year. You know, you should be, particularly when you get to a certain age, doing this type of thing. Even though, like, nobody likes going to the doctor, Marcus, but you got to do these kind of things, especially now, like when we're in an age where we've seen with coronavirus how important our health is.
Yeah, and you know, colonoscopies, they are not fun, but they are not painful either. You don't feel it, you know, you're not awake for it. Really, the hardest part is just doing the prep the night before. But yeah,
I've never had one.
Itself, I've had, because of my health situation, I've had probably 6 or 7 by now.
Oh.
And yeah, you don't, you know, they put you to sleep. You can stay awake if you're into that thing, but I'd rather not be.
But now I'm going to need you to give me all the drugs.
Yeah, you can, they'll knock you out, but you have to clear your system the night before. So that's not fun, but yeah. And I was not aware of, I guess, some of the chatter about his weight loss.
That was a big thing where people were like, you know, is he on drugs or something wrong with him? Cause he was losing weight, obviously, you know, now that we know what was going on. And people like, you've been on the internet, Marcus, you know, sometimes the internet is a ruthless place. You know, there's no roots to be found. And you had a lot of these, you know, idiots kind of taking shots at him, talking about, you know, he was on that stuff or whatever. And now it's like, no, he was actually, you know, dealing with this illness and making these movies. And all the kind of rumors and the gossip and whatever is like, now don't you feel stupid for saying this stuff about this man.
Yeah, that was really.
Like, he even had to, I believe, I don't know if it was Twitter or Instagram, but he left one of his accounts for a while just because people kept bringing that stuff up and, you know, like, are you on drugs or what's going on with you and stuff like that? And he just got sick of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's where social media is not the best. And, you know, it's probably the same people that were at the theaters watching Black Panther or watching his other films and anything for those jokes, I guess, or anything for likes. But yeah, be better. Don't do that, people. Like, come on.
Yeah.
You really don't know what people are going through.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah, like, a lot of people aren't telling you the whole story. Most people aren't telling you the whole story about what's going on with them. And you know, like you said, Marcus, in terms of your health, like, I know sometimes they'll do, you know, and that's why I'm giving shout out to the American Cancer Society. A lot of times they'll do, like, screenings, particularly in inner city neighborhoods or low income neighborhoods for people that really can't afford regular health care. And like, I went to a couple of those. Like, I went to, like, 3 years straight. I missed the last two. Like, last year I missed it just because I was doing something. And then this year I missed it because they didn't have one because of Corona. But 3 years straight, they had like a Black men's health fair where they took your blood. They took your height and weight. They took your blood pressure. And then they gave you a prostate exam.
Mm-hmm.
And again, much like the colonoscopy, prostate exam, it ain't the funnest time in the world.
Yeah, we said it's quick.
Yes, it was quick. And like I said, I had it 3 years in a row, even though, like, I guess they say like 50 is when you should start getting them. But if you're Black or brown and you have pre-existing conditions in your family, like, you really need to, like, once you hit your mid-30s, early 40s, you got to start looking at that stuff because you never know. Because Chadwick was only 43, which means he only found out about this when he was 39. So it's like, yeah, like, that's right in our age range, Marcus. So, and probably in a lot of our listeners' age range.
Yeah. And, you know, who knows if he, you know, if you catch it earlier, maybe it's a different outcome. But sometimes, even with the best treatment and money to get all these, you know, the best doctors, that sometimes it's out of your hands. And I think that was probably the case for Chadwick, where getting stage three and then it going to stage four. There's only so much you can do.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely get yourself checked out. And so because of that, what we're doing on the Patreon for this month, up until September 30th, any new patrons that we get, we're going to take that money and we're going to put it towards three charities, Marcus Vandenberg. The first one is the Jackie Robinson Foundation. The second one is the Thurgood Marshall College Fund. And then the third one, like I just said, is the American Cancer Society. So for those of you listening who haven't join the Patreon yet, you know, this might be the time where you can join, see what we're doing on the Patreon and help some people out. And also, you know, if you have friends that are either into sports or are into Black people talking, you can let them know about the Patreon. Because, yeah, like, I was trying to think, Marcus, over the weekend, like, what could we do as a show to kind of show our respect to Chadwick and also maybe do some good. And it, like, I just thought about John and Wayne and how they use their platform. And I was like, well, we could do something like that with the Patreon. So, yeah, so for this month, from the time we're recording this, August 30th, to the time of November 30th next month. September 30th, yeah. If the world is still around in September, we're going to be taking that money from the Patreon and sending it to Jackie Robinson Foundation, Thurgood Marshall College Fund, and the American Cancer Society. So I thought like those were kind of three good charities to represent Chadwick.
Yeah, I mean, they all have a connection in some type of way. Fortunately, the cancer connection, being with his death. But I like that idea.
Yeah, so that's just our little part that we're doing, to honor the brother, and to keep the movement going forward. So I'm trying to think, Marcus. Unless you got anything else to say, I think we're gonna call it a show because you got basketball to write about probably, and you got a kid to a kid to attend to, and I got the rest of this Black Panther to watch.
I have a kid who's turning one this week, Nate.
Ah, it's time flies, Marcus.
Yeah.
It just felt like just yesterday when young Simba was born and Marcus climbed to the top of the mountain and held him up. So has he started talking yet? I know he verbalizes, but has he started kind of putting words together yet?
Not really. I mean, he'll say one-off stuff like up and
food,
dad. But yeah, he's not putting it together yet. Yeah,
just the important stuff.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's turning one on Thursday. So.
Okay. Any plans?
He's at a doctor's appointment. He has 1 year check-in with the doc. And then we're going to the zoo because.
Oh, okay.
Disneyland still closed. That would be the ideal situation, but we'll go for the zoo instead.
Okay. Even if they were open, like it wouldn't be a fun time at Disneyland. It wouldn't be.
What are you talking about?
You had to wear your mask and you had to socially distance. It wouldn't be the full Disney experience.
We would take it at this point.
See, you're gonna be like the folks at that Chris Jericho concert.
Oh, it's Sturgis.
Yeah, you know the motorcycle people. You see how that goddamn was it 100 cases came out of that?
I'm surprised it's only 100, considering how many people were there. It was 200,000.
It's either 100 or 1,000. I might be misplacing a zero, but yeah, like they. Like, you risking your life to go see Chris Jericho and Smash Mouth?
Hey, now.
So we doing in 2020?
Yeah.
I can understand if WCW was still around and they were doing Hog Wild. That's a different story, Marcus.
That's where we got, what, Rodman and Malone?
Yep. Yeah, Hog Wild, which was a brilliant idea to do a free damn show where you didn't make any money off the gate.
Well, it was a company filled with brilliant ideas.
But yeah. So happy birthday early to young Simba because his birthday will probably come up before we record again. It'll definitely come up. You said it's Thursday?
Yeah. Yes, it's Thursday.
Okay, yeah. So happy birthday early to young Simba. And yeah, we'll see. We'll see what's going on with the NBA and Major League Baseball, and the NFL is right around the corner, Marcus.
So you mentioned football. Football's gonna happen, Nate.
They're gonna start, Marcus.
They're gonna start.
Will they finish is the question.
Well, considering how well they've done so far during training camp, I think it's possible. I mean, we have not seen a league not finish yet, right? Everyone who's come back has, even MLS, who just sent teams home and were like, yo, get out. even they finished their tournament, so... I think they're going to finish. It might take an extra week or two to finish, but
do you think they should have just started with like some crazy, since this is a crazy season anyway, Marcus, instead of trying to do 16 weeks, do you think they should have just did like some tournament formation or where we still have the AFC and the NFC, but you play like each team twice. And then we get to the playoffs from there. Some type of calculation. You think that could have worked?
No, I mean, it could have worked.
Almost like a soccer style kind of a, you know, tournament.
I think the reason why they're playing 16 games still is money. They want 16 games to broadcast. So the idea of doing a tournament that featured only like six games, that wasn't going to be good enough for the owners. At that point, just don't have a football season because it's not going to be worth the effort and risk unless you're really going all out and trying to pull off a full season. I mean, it's bad enough they're not having fans this season at most stadiums. So the idea of doing something that's not a full season just wouldn't work out. So, they don't have a bubble. They have a lot more players than the NBA and MLB and NHL.
Yep.
So kudos to them for at least getting this far and not having issues. The real test will be week one when teams start. It's not so much the traveling part because, you know, they're not flying Southwest, they're flying charter planes.
But it will be being
in those cities. Feeding in those hotel rooms.
Especially Dallas, Houston, Miami.
Yeah. Yeah.
Los Angeles.
There's only so many cities where you can fly in Sunday morning and play Sunday afternoon. Some of those cities you have to fly in Saturday night. And that'll be on the players to control themselves. So
don't sneak in any special friends.
Nah. But we're getting football.
They need to holler at The Rock, though, because The Rock in charge of the XFL now. Just make that the official minor league so that way you can do like baseball. When you start running out of players, just bring up like the – what was the L.A. team, the Express?
That was the USFL team, right? Yeah, that was at the Defenders.
I'm trying to think of the XFL, the Defenders. No, it was the D.C. Defenders.
The Wildcats.
The LA Wildcats, just make that the official farm team for all the LA teams, and they can just pull up players when they got to send people home.
Yeah.
So, look, fantasy football is starting the draft this week, so we'll see.
We'll see. College football was bashed last night. It was 1AA, but it was bad.
But I get Marcus why the SEC and the ACC is still out here trying to have college football because that's money. That's money. Ain't nobody out here trying to see a little 1AA squad.
Hey, I watched Austin Peay from Arkansas last night.
Ain't nobody out here trying to see Southern Mississippi.
They're actually pretty good.
And look, I was gonna say something bad about Bethune-Cookman, but you know we gotta respect our HBCUs this week.
And I don't think they're playing this year. I think a lot of the HBCUs aren't playing.
I wouldn't if I were them. Why? For what? For who?
For who? Yeah.
Especially when you consider who COVID or what group COVID affects more disproportionately than any group.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about like. Because football players are in shape, Marcus, but particularly when you talk about, like, linemen, like, those are dudes who might have some underlying health conditions.
Yeah.
So, I think it's a good move by the HBCUs.
Well, the big football game this weekend, Nate, you have Army versus Middle Tennessee. Or you have Memphis, who's ranked against Arkansas State. Or on Labor Day, BYU Navy.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, it's better than nothing, right?
I'm actually kind of surprised the service academies are playing.
I'm not, because... Yeah.
They're following the lead of the commander-in-chief.
Hey. Mm. Boss man says he wants football. They're doing different football.
You can't take away my football.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see, Marcus.
Yeah. I mean, this season's it's, you know, you talk about asterisk for the NBA. Like, this season, this season doesn't count.
And you know what they should have did?
Not counting for the players.
Yeah, well, what they should have done, Marcus, and it couldn't happen because of the money, but also because other countries aren't letting us come in, but we should have just shipped all of our athletes to the countries that did what they were supposed to do and played the seasons over there.
Yeah.
Just send them all to Switzerland.
I mean, we send them to Florida. That's another country.
Oh, yeah, Florida. We'll see, though, man, because with... Now that people can vote at the Thunderdome, maybe that'll turn Florida blue, SmackDown blue this year. Oh, the Thunderdome. Like, why would I sign up to watch wrestling on my laptop?
To see yourself on TV, Nate. Come on.
I can't. You tell me I can't eat nothing. I can't drink nothing. I gotta clap when you want me to clap.
I mean, you can clearly show racist and
yeah. You can slip Chris Benoit on the damn broadcast, but I can't have a Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised it hadn't been worse with fans being fans.
Oh, it's gonna happen. Don't worry.
I'm surprised that these fans are wearing clothes.
give it time.
Just
be careful what you wish for.
Just naked, just fat, sweaty. Naked, like all the insults Rick Rude used to say.
Yeah.
This is for all the fat, sweaty, disgusting sweat hogs out there. But yeah, so let's go from that unpleasant image, Marcus, to wrap up with some positives for this week. What have you got going on, and where can the people follow you?
I have nothing going on, I don't think, this week. But you can follow me on social media at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
Mm. Why did you tell me Jamel and Carrie Champion got a show coming out?
Yes. It's on Vice.
Yeah.
Been out for 2 weeks now.
Yeah, because I was watching the MSNBC, and because of all the sports this week, they've been just getting anybody they can find to talk about sports. Like, I think they talked to Kenny Smith from his backyard one day, the day after Kenny Smith walked off the set of Inside the NBA.
Oh, okay.
And so then this week I've seen both Jamel and Bo on MSNBC.
Hmm.
And Jamel, like, I think Jamel was on twice, because the first time it was her and Carrie and Chris Webber, and then the second time, which was today, I know it was yesterday, it was her and Bo.
Okay.
But yeah, the show with Carrie looks pretty good.
Yeah, it's they had LeBron on the first episode, so
okay.
Came out the gate swinging with the guests.
Is it online?
I'm sure it's on YouTube after it airs, yeah, but it's on Vice. On, I think it's on Wednesday nights, I want to say.
Don't okay.
On that. But yeah, it's once a week.
Okay, the Dark Side of the Ring spot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm about to check that out. But yeah, so you can find me on Twitter in the number 8 MOZAIK at Nate Mosaic. Follow the show, CosPod at KOS_POD. Facebook.com/The Kings of Sport. Don't forget Patreon, new subscribers this month. money be donated towards Jackie Robinson Foundation, Thurgood Marshall College Fund, and the American Cancer Society in honor of Chadwick Boseman. So that's what we got going on with that. Patreon.com/thekingsofsport. I'm trying to think. Anything else that we neglected, Marcus, before we get out of here?
I don't think so.
Okay, well then let's get on out of here because it's right at the point of Black Panther where they're in Korea. So
spoiler alert! Come on. It's only been 2 years. 2 years.
So it's only been 2 years. So yeah. So I'm gonna watch the rest of this Black Panther. See what they got going on with this Chadwick Boseman tribute episode after this. I just got the part where she took her wig off.
Yeah.
During the fight scene. So yeah, that's gonna do it for this edition of the Kings of Sport. Thank y'all for checking out the show. That's it for this episode. We'll be back next week with an all new episode of the world's most dangerous sports show, Kings of Sport Podcast. So for Marcus Vandenberg, for the birthday boy, Young Simba, and for brother Chadwick Boseman, I am the godfather, Nate Milton. And we press on with pride. We press on with purpose. And Wakanda forever. Because you've been down with the king. What's going on, brothers and sisters? It's your man, Godfather, here on the Kings of Sport Patreon with a bonus podcast, not just for the good people out there in the Kings of Sport Nation who have shown their support on the Patreon, but for everybody, you know, everybody out there as a whole, as a collective. You know, this is not a show that I thought I would be doing tonight, but it's a show that I feel like I have to do tonight. And before we kind of get into the topic at hand, I guess I should probably kind of explain a little bit about my relationship, you know, with podcasting, because podcasting at various points over the past 7 years has been not only a fun hobby, but it's been a way to keep my broadcasting skills sharp, just in case, you know, I ever get that opportunity, you know, get that shot, one last shot at being able to do this for a living. You know, it's been a side hustle, you know, it's been a auxiliary stream of revenue for me, especially the past year with the Patreon. But maybe more so than anything else, podcasting has always been a form of therapy, free therapy, which is arguably the best kind of therapy. And, you know, the first show that I ever did, that was mine, you know, not being a guest on somebody else's show or doing a segment for a friend. The first show that I ever did that was completely my voice was the first edition of the Kings of Sport back in 2013 when me, Marcus Vandenberg, and Alfred Cunawa came together and put that show together. And it was what I needed at the time, not just in the sense of, you know, it was an outlet for me to kind of, like I said, keep my broadcasting skills sharp and you know, maybe make them even sharper by working with people like Marcus and Alfred. But even more so than that, it was something to get me back to some sense of normalcy following what had happened with me in Canada and the fact that, you know, I had these big plans and moved up there and thought I was going, you know, spend the rest of my life in the great white North, you know, a great Southern black in the great white North is kind of how I pictured the screenplay of my life ending, you know, finding a job up there, you know, settling down with the girl that I loved at the time. You know, I thought that that was going to be my life. And, you know, obviously, spoiler alert, that's not what happened. And so podcasting, especially with my brothers, you know, Marcus and Alfred, and I know we got a lot of jokes about Alfred and, you know, I still feel some type of way about the way he left the podcast. But I can't take away what he meant to the show in those early days. You know, it was me coming together with my brothers and not just talking about sports, not just talking about pro wrestling, not just talking about pop culture, not just talking about black people stuff, but, you know, me fellowshipping and communing with my brothers. So this is a long way of saying that podcasting is very important to me, and it's more than just making show or making content, you know. It actually helps me. And so the reason why I'm doing this show tonight is because I feel like not just me, but there's a lot of people out there, man, tonight that need some help. Because as if 2020 couldn't get any worse, about 2 hours ago, the news came across the wire that we've lost Chadwick Boseman. Chadwick Boseman, of course, the actor, played Jackie Robinson, played James Brown, played Thurgood Marshall, and most famously played T'Challa, King T'Challa, the Black Panther. Chadwick Boseman passed away at the age of 43 after a 4-year fight with colon cancer. And this was just kind of like the gut punch that hit us all. You know, it's been a long week, man. Like I said on Twitter tonight, you know, a lot of people are weary right now. Our souls are weary. We feel like we've been drained. We feel like we can't give enough or do enough after the week that we've had, you know, and for this to be the end point on the week, it just felt like a sucker punch. And, you know, right now it's like, I can't speak to what you're feeling out there. You know, I can only speak for myself, but I have a feeling that we're all kind of going through the same emotions right now. Cause I'm feeling like this mix of emotion. You know, I am at once incredibly saddened by the loss of this brother's life. I'm hurting for his family. You know, I'm hurting for the people in his circle, you know, the people that he worked with, you know, in the acting community. I'm hurting for anybody that was a fan of his, like myself, you know, especially when you talk about those Marvel films that he was in. You know, I'm hurting for little black boys and little black girls, like my nieces, whose hero won't see another day, you know. So I'm deeply saddened and deeply hurt by the loss of Chadwick Boseman. But I'm also angry, you know. And I understand, you know, whenever a celebrity passes, there's this kind of immediate outpouring of sorrow, this immediate outpouring of love, this immediate outpouring of respect. And some people might feel like it's over the top, you know, like you didn't even know them people. But our celebrities, right, our actors, our artists, our musicians, our athletes, especially after this past week, our athletes, you know, they can be inspirational figures to people. And, you know, this one hit me, even though I never met Chadwick Boseman. You know, I don't know the man other than what I've seen on the screen. But his death has affected me, you know, and like I said, I'm angry. I'm angry at just the kind of cold, callous kind of cavalier nature of life, you know, and I get it, right? Like, we all get it. We all know that life is not fair, right? Especially if you're black or brown or a woman or a member of the LGBT community, right? Like, you know that life ain't fair. You know that the game has been rigged. You know it's a setup from the get up, and you just get up every morning and you try to do the best that you can. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the Good Times theme song. You know, you keep your head above water and you just try to make a wave when you can. But there's some days where it's like you can barely keep your head above water. And I feel like, you know, again, I can only speak for me. I can only speak for Nate. I feel like this whole week I've just been absorbing body blows, man, from a country that has this weird relationship with black people where they love the culture. They love the music. They love the fashion. They love the dance. They love the athletic exploits. They love the fact that, you know, we can speak really well. Because I've heard that one a couple times in my life. But they don't really love us, you know? And more deaths at the hands of the police, you know, has just affected me, you know? And it's like, there's a reason why the NBA players decided to walk out, you know, for a couple of days this past week. And it's because they understood that this is a moment. It's a moment and a movement. But more specifically, this is a moment where if you don't use your power, if you don't use what little bit of leverage you have right now to try to make things better, you might not have that shot again. And so, yeah, it affected me, man. Like, it's like, damn, like, out of all the people that you could have took, man, Chadwick, like, the premature passing of Chadwick Boseman just hit me. And here's the crazy thing, though, right? This is the whole crazy thing about it. I don't even know if we can really call it premature, given that he was battling cancer for 4 years, right? Like, he was fighting against this disease, this insidious disease, for 4 years and was still able to put out classics, right? Able to put out hits, able to put out smashes, able to put out one of the biggest movies in the history of film. The fact that this dude did all that while still battling cancer is just like, I was already a fan of the dude, but this took it to another level. Cause it's like, man, like, this is going to sound crazy. But again, like, I'm like Beyonce tonight. I've been drinking. So this is going to sound crazy, but like, that just goes to show you what black people are all about, man. And granted, like, not everybody, not every black person is a Chadwick Boseman or a Letitia Wright or a Ava DuVernay or a Spike Lee or a LeBron James or a Chris Paul or a Rihanna or a Cardi B or a Tyler Perry or a Barack Obama or a Michelle Obama, right? Like, every black person is not this exceptional person that has jumped over the barricades that society has kind of built up in their way. But every black person is somebody that has value. Every black person is somebody that has worth. Every black person is somebody that matters. Just the same way that every white person matters. Every Asian person matters. Every Middle Eastern person matters. Every Latino person matters. Every man matters. Every woman matters. Every person in the LGBT community matters. We all matter. And so, again, getting back to kind of what's going on with the social justice movement in America that feels like it's just kind of coalescing right now in this moment under the umbrella of a pandemic. It's like, yeah, man, like I understand from a quote unquote logical standpoint, if you are not a cheerleader, right, for a black person that gets killed by the police that has like criminal records and things like that. But by the same token, man, that shouldn't matter. Right. Like we have a court system for a reason, quote unquote. So the fact that you shoot a man in the back 7 times, regardless of what he did, regardless of what's on his record, regardless of, you know, the fact that he's in the system, that shouldn't be the way that this brother went out. You know, like, you might not want to be best friends with that man, but you have to respect that person as a man. You have to respect that person as a human being that had kids, that had family, that had friends, that had people that looked up to him despite what was on his record. And I feel like so many times black people don't get the benefit of the doubt that white people get. And again, you know, bringing that back to Chadwick, it's like, What's going on, man? Where we have a brother that was so talented, a brother that was so strong, a brother that was so inspirational. And, you know, like, dude went to the hospital, man, and talked to these sick kids out there, man, and gave him some hope, gave him some inspiration the whole time while he was battling cancer. Like, the fact that a dude like that, a guy that inspired kids, a guy that inspired the community, that man is no longer with us, while the current occupant at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue gets to exist. That's crazy. And not only get to exist, right? Not only get to survive, but he gets to thrive and he gets to flourish and he gets to spread hate and he gets to spread dissension and he gets to spread lies. But we just lost a king. We just lost a leader. We just lost somebody with compassion. While the orange Julius Caesar still gets to sit on his throne. And I wasn't even trying to really get political tonight, you know. I say that for the 22 and twin. But that just weighed on my heart, man. Like, there is so much evil in this world. There is so much negativity in this world. So much hatred in this world. So much despair in this world. So much darkness in this world. But be that as it may, even with all that, there is still light. There is still hope. There is still love in this world. We just got to be willing to fight for it. We just have to be willing to go out there and put it on the line. And say no more. Say that we are better than this. Say that we want more for our children. so that we want more for the next generation. That, yeah, things might have been like this our whole lives, but that doesn't make it right. And we can be part of the change. We can be part of the movement. We can be part of the moment that finally gets it right. I don't know how long I've been going. some would probably say too long, but, I think I'm going to end it here tonight because, I feel like I've said all I need to say for tonight. You know, we'll talk more about this on the Kings of Sport podcast, which should be out this weekend. This isn't going to be the last I talk about Chadwick Boseman, you know, because again, not only was his brother great, but you know, movies like Black Panther, movies like 42, I mean, the fact that the brother passed on Jackie Robinson Day, right? And the only reason that August the 28th, 2020 was Jackie Robinson Day was because everything got pushed back in Major League Baseball because of COVID-19. It's this tragic but yet beautiful symmetry. Like, here's the part where I try to get positive. Here's the part where I try to stay optimistic. I believe everything happens for a reason. I believe everybody on this earth is here for a reason. And, you know, Chadwick left us way too soon. But hearing that he was dealing with cancer for 4 years, maybe he just held on as long as he could. You know, maybe he just held on as long as he could to create something like Black Panther. Which, yeah, it's a superhero movie. Yeah, it's, you know, quote unquote, silly comic book stuff. But that movie meant so much to so many people and opened the doors for a lot of people to follow behind him. So, like, I just have to salute that brother, man, because I don't know if I could be that strong. As an addendum to that thought on Black Panther, for anybody going forward in the future that want to talk smack about Black Panther, we not listen to you. You know, obviously there's some issues with the movie. Every movie has issues. Even the movie that you think is the greatest movie in the world, which is probably Joker, with your dumb ass. It's why I shouldn't drink in podcasts. Anyways, I'm going to leave it in. This is real. Even if there are issues with the movie, such as the third act CGI, which to me is the only issue with the film, that third act CGI. Even if that's an issue, that doesn't detract from what Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan, Letitia Wright, Danai Gurira, I know I messed up a name, that's okay. She knows who she is. And Chadwick Boseman and the rest of them brought to the screen. Like, to me, Black Panther is a movie that had so much pressure on its shoulders to deliver. Because let's be real. Like, let's talk about Black Panther. If Black Panther was a flop, we probably would not have gotten another black-led superhero movie for at least 5 years. Because that's the way Hollywood works, man. So the fact that Black Panther not only delivered, but it over-delivered, in my opinion, and broke all sorts of box office records. And even more important than that, it gave young black boys, young black girls, young brown boys, young brown girls a hero. And that's something that, especially in this day and age, in these uncertain times, these Rona commercials will try to tell you, especially in the age of Donald Trump, in Donald Trump's America, which hopefully has an expiration date of January 2021, we need heroes. So, thank you, Chadwick Boseman. I feel like in society we wait to give people flowers until they're dead, you know. And so,
I'm as guilty as the next person, but thank you, Chadwick Boseman, for what you did for the culture, man. It is greatly appreciated, man. And you are real with that, man. What you created, what you helped bring to the screen will live on, you know, far beyond you, far beyond me, far beyond most of the people listening. It's something that will never be forgotten. So, thank you, Chadwick Boseman. Thank you, listeners, for listening to me ramble tonight, because I had to get this off my chest, man. It wouldn't have been, I don't think I would have been able to go to sleep if I didn't talk to somebody. And since I'm not going to bother my IRL friends by calling them this late at night, I'm going to bother y'all with this free podcast. But, you know, speaking of giving flowers while flowers, while people are still around, I want to thank everybody that has signed up for the Kings of Sport Patreon, man, because it means a lot to me, especially in this time, you know, full disclosure, where my work schedule at the restaurant has been sporadic at best. Like, when that Patreon check hit on the first, I was sitting there like, never would have made it. So I thank you. I appreciate you for supporting me and Marcus and the show. So, yeah, that's going to do it. I think I'm going to go out with a track from the Black Panther soundtrack because, A, it's what I need, you know, me selfishly, what I need right now. But also, because that soundtrack was so dope. That soundtrack was fire. So, again, RIP to Chadwick Boseman. Thank you, guys and girls, for listening to me tonight. We're going to make it. We're going to be all right. Always forward. Wakanda forever. That felt really awkward, but exactly what needed to be the button of this episode. So, delete that footage. But, yeah, rest in power, King. Y'all be good. Be safe. And I'll talk to you soon.
I fight you, I fight myself, I fight God, just tell me how many burdens left. I fight pain and hurricanes, today I wept. I'm trying to fight back tears, flood on my doorsteps. Life to live in hell, puddles of blood in the street. Shooters on top of the building, government aid ain't relief. Earthquake, the body drop, the ground breaks. The poor run with smoke lungs and scarred face. Who need a hero?
Hero.
You need a hero, look in the mirror, there go your hero. Who on the front lines at ground zero?
Hero.
My heart don't skip a beat even when hard times bumps the needle. Mass destruction and mass corruption, the souls of suffering men. Clutching on deaf ears again, rapture is coming. It's all prophecy and if I gotta be sacrificed for the greater good, then that's what it gotta
you
be.
Pray to me.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's bad. D-A-double-D-Y, that's ass.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to leave it all on the mat. Because that's what I do when I get it done so I can do it. Yeah!